Logano owns the return to points racing at North Wilkesboro. Denny Hamlin pads his points lead, and Shane Van Gisbergen makes a point that he can race in circles. These are our top stories on this edition of Fast Talk.
Fast Talk is presented by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. Now here's the host of Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
Greetings everyone and welcome to the show. And the point of this is Joey Logano was very fast and commanded the return to points racing at North Wilkesboro Speedway, dominating the Window World 450. Let's travel back in time and hear what it sounded like on the Performance Racing Network.
White flag is in the air. Joey Logano has comfort. He has 15 car lengths over Denny Hamlin on the final lap. Here comes Joey Logano at North Wilkesboro on a big night here with 450 laps. He wants to lead the last one. Here's Logano back to the stripe.
Out of turn number four, Joey Logano is going to snap a 45 race winless streak, and he will win at North Wilkesboro. Joey Logano wins the Window World 450 by 9/10 of a second over Denny Hamlin.
Doesn't sound like that big of a margin, but it was definitely never in doubt over the last stage, to be exact. And let's go ahead and catch up with Joey after the race.
The winless streak is over for Joey Logano. After 45 races, he goes to victory lane. Joey, you're covered in sweat. This car is covered in rubber. And a dominant performance tonight you entered this race lead 116 laps all year. And I don't even know what the number is right now, but it was a dominant performance. How do you feel right now getting the monkey off your back?
Yeah, just a solid race car. I knew in practice, the car had speed and the balance was really loose. And so when you have that, it's like, okay, if we get the balance right, this thing's really fast, I think. And so I did a good job dialing in over tonight and putting it in position at the end there. So really at the end of the first stage, we kind of got where we needed to be and was able to just set sail up front. So just a really solid race car. I was lucky to get to drive this one today. I was really just able to manage a lot of things inside the car. So. Proud of Paul Wolf. He does a good job. We tested twice over the offseason here when they were testing all the other stuff with the rules packages and stuff. So just a really good tester.
And what is it about North Wilkesboro with an all-star win, a bunch of laps led a year ago? You the Wilkesboro Whisperer or the new venue Whisperer?
I don't know. I don't want to be a one-track wonder, but right now it's a good one to be good at. And, last year we feel like we got one taken away there at the end. And, even the old pavement, I felt like we had a chance of winning that all-star race as well. So just always had fast cars here and was able to, just able to manage the short track stuff. So definitely our wheelhouse right now.
And you're here with your son, Hudson, right? That you got to ride shotgun?
Yeah, I seen him on the backstretch. I was doing a donut. I was, pick him up.
All right, Joey Logano happy with the win. He led 323 laps out of 450 on his way to his first win, as everybody said, in the last 45 races in the Lexus. We have learned now if Paul Wolf and Joey Logano get the advantage of going someplace to test, you might want to go ahead and pencil them in for the W.
Yeah, I love Doug Turnbull's Wilkesboro Whisperer comment. And it does seem like he does take that and run with it as an advantage, as he's made himself very successful doing that in the past. I thought about it yesterday. I thought he probably just was really upset that everybody said last week that the last six Ford races were won by Ryan Blaney. And he said, you know what? I'm done with that. I don't like that stat anymore. I need to add my name to this.
Well, he put a flag in the ground.
He
that's
did,
for certain.
Yeah.
Andrew, it won by about a second, but you watched the race on pit road as you were pit reporting for PRN. At least for me, from where I was watching it in the PA booth, even though it was a second only, it felt like a lot more.
Yeah, you saw during those longer green flag runs that he really did extend it out much further, and he had the rest of the competition really surprised by his speed. Denny Hamlin came over the radio a couple of times during that race and said, Logano is just really fast. And this was when Hamlin was running second, the next best car. So his speed was just, it was on point. They're good testers, obviously. I can't help but wonder, too, what does 50 minutes of practice do for the 22 team? After we saw with COVID and practice going down that there were certain teams that fell off a little bit in performance. Maybe the 22 team, they're that old school team. They can dial it in if they've got some track time and That's going to be interesting. I'm hearing practice might come back in a longer degree. Jordan Bianchi is reporting that as well.
Yeah, that'll be interesting for sure. I, you know, one of the things that I thought, you know, kind of piqued my interest yesterday is after the race was over, we saw Denny Hamlin, who ran second to Joey Logano for much of the race, get out and go over and kind of congrat, like, you know, like an attaboy, like, yeah, you know, this was your race. You dominated it, and it was fun to watch even from second place. And I thought that said a lot because we all know the history, you know, with those two guys. So for him to get out of the car and the first thing he thought of is, I need to go over and congratulate Joey Logano and his team on just how great of a ride that they put together and they put out on the racetrack today. I thought that meant a lot. It seemed to me like he did a really good job getting through traffic. Obviously, he had a fantastic race car, but being able to get and maneuver himself through traffic, I think, is what ultimately was able to give him such a great advantage.
Well, I talked to Denny Hamlin after the race, and exactly that. First on that point, and he said it was just wildly impressive of what Joey Logano did, but Hamlin said, I could catch up to him. It was like ebbing and flowing. I would catch him in open traffic, and then as soon as lap cars got back in the way, Logano just was the better car to be able to maneuver through things. So that's where I think his true talent was, and that's where you got to be good at North Wilkesboro when there's that many cars on the track.
There were two phases in the third and final stage that I felt like put the dye in the water, even though I think it was already there. One was Hamlin and Logano caught a big bunch of traffic, like five cars all clogged together. And how they got through that was huge. And Joey put on a clinic. And then he lost a little bit of ground. He made it up. And then Joey Logano survives the Riley Herbst, I'm going to make my car 15 feet wide.
Roadblock. Yeah.
I mean, and Riley sold it really well. It wasn't super obvious. And Joey knew what was going on. He absolutely knew, okay, that's his driver. I'm going to be careful. If I take my time, I'll get around it.
That actually surprised me. And Riley's being a good teammate to the boss man, but he's not going to be the boss man for that much longer. I was actually surprised with how much he helped, if you want to say he helped Denny Hamlin, just because he's not going to be in a 23-11 ride next year. I was wondering, oh, well, does this even matter at this point?
Yeah, but, you know, Denny Hamlin's also somebody that I think it pays probably to have, you know, some
in your back pocket.
Right, exactly. So I wasn't that surprised by it. I was surprised, I think, a little bit by how long it took Joey to get around him, but he was methodical and he kept at it. And then once he got by him, it was like, okay, well, lights out for sure.
Can't use the bumper anymore.
No, the new softer bumper took the obvious move away there.
Yeah.
And Joey talked about that later on. I heard in one of the post races, maybe with Lee Spencer, he said, I was afraid what would happen to my car. He said, I knew I would get around it. Mm-hmm. And then the favor kind of got replayed near the end of the race when Denny Hamlin
had Blaney.
Had Blaney in front of him.
Yep.
And to Blaney's credit, it was like, I don't need to hold you
up.
You're not going to catch him.
Yeah.
You're not going to catch Joey. So
he turned him loose and let it go. The writing on the wall. He was like, eh, go ahead.
But good for Joey and that bunch. I do want to ask, I'm getting in the Wayback Machine here. There's a song in The Sound of Music. What do you do with a problem like Maria? What do you do with Joey Logano now? In mental capacity, he had a dominant day, wore the field out. He jumped three spots. He was below the cut line. Now he's above the cut line. Do we even pay any attention to Joey Logano? I'll start with you first, Andrew. Or is he too far back for us to really spend time looking at?
I think we're going to be talking about Joey Logano through the rest of the summer. This was a race, though, that I was expecting Joey Logano to be a favorite. So this wasn't necessarily a surprising win from my regard, even though he did break a long winless streak. But you got to look at the track that he won at. It was a short track. They had track time to test at it. And we're going to continue to talk about him. I wouldn't be surprised if he wins another race because we've got Iowa coming up. We've got Richmond coming up. They're good at New Hampshire. So this is the perfect time to be Joey Logano. If you look further down the road, I don't know if he becomes that much more of a player outside of being inside the chase and being a final 16 contender, but this is a good time for him.
Alexis, is this an anomaly or is this the start of a trend?
I don't think it's necessarily an anomaly for the same reasons that Andrew stated, that it was on a short track where we expect Team Penske and really Joey Logano to do well. I think we'll continue to see that at those tracks that Andrew listed as we play out the rest of this regular season. However, once we get into the chase, he may cement himself a little bit further into the chase than he is now, certainly, and I think he will most likely make it, certainly. But the intermediate tracks that we're going to see in the chase, I think, are going to be difficult for that team because they haven't had the raw speed in those race cars. And so unless they can figure out how to get that, I think the short tracks are probably going to be where we see them shine the most. And those intermediates are going to throw them a little bit of a monkey wrench once we get into the chase.
I talked to Joey Logano on Saturday as well, and he said, listen, these are our best tracks. We know that going into it. And our job is to capitalize on it in the moment. So, I think the 22 team is also well aware of, all right, we've got these tracks. We know they're circled on our calendar. We need to make the most of it.
I will see how all of that plays out. I one little footnote, by the way. This is the first race win for Ball Joey Logano.
For Ball Joey Logano? Yeah.
All right.
I mean, this was, you know, Hair Club for Men Joey Logano had won a lot of races.
Sure.
37 of them.
Sure.
It's the first one for cleanly shorn Joey Logano. I think that should be footnoted. And I didn't think about it until I watched him get out of the car last night and the lie was reflecting on
it. Well, you know, he had that 22-cent hat on, too. He was sure to put that on pretty quickly. But, yeah, good for him. Good for that team. They have needed that boost.
All right, let's give you our Toyota rundown. And, by the way, the Toyotas did well. They did not win, but second place, Denny Hamlin. Third was Chase Briscoe. Fourth was Ty Gibbs. Bubba Wallace was sixth. 19th went to Christopher Bell. Eric Jones, 21st. Tyler Reddick, way down there in 30th. We're going to talk about that in 31st. Went to John Hunter Nemechek. And that is our Toyota Peak Performance Report brought to you by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be a part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com.
How does Chase Briscoe win? With the hands of his pit crew changing four tires in under 9 seconds. The voice of his spotter carving a path through the pack. His race engineer, systems engineer, all working tirelessly to shave off a tenth of a second. With his team at Toyota, his crew chief, his fans, his family, it's all of this all at once at 200 miles per hour. From the moment Chase joined Toyota to the moment he ends up in victory lane. So how does Chase Briscoe win? In summary, not alone. Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper, rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at ZMAX.com or visit us on Facebook and X. Protect your engine to the max with ZMAX.
This is Daniel Suarez, and you're listening to the PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
I'm David Stiles, and each weekday, Andrew Kurland and I bring you the biggest stories from the garage on our daily show, Garage Pass.
I finally got onto a smooth road and just did one of those nodders and woke up tumbling, you know, out through the middle of the desert. And we had literally a vehicle that would move down the race course and chase you. Well, our chase truck got into a fender bender in a small little town, and the guys got locked up in jail.
That's PRN's Garage Pass right here.
Hey, race fans, we can't wait to see you right here at New Hampshire Motor Speedway for a wicked fast, wicked fun weekend this August as we host New England's only NASCAR Cup Series weekend. Live performances, driver appearances. Don't forget to keep an eye on NHMS.com as we count down to New England's only NASCAR Cup weekend, August 21st through the 23rd, right here at New Hampshire Motor Speedway, New England's big track, where it's always about family, friends, and fun.
we spent most of the A block breaking down the actual action of the Window World 450 at North Wilkesboro Speedway, talking about Joey Logano's domination. Well, what about the ramifications thereof? And right now, we are looking at a point situation where Denny Hamlin retains his points lead. He's padding it a little bit. 68 over Tyler Reddick, 87 over Ryan Blaney. And I'm going to go ahead and throw in Ty Gibbs at 134 back. Should I give Ty Gibbs a little bit of love being in fourth, 134 back with five to go, Andrew?
Hey, it's certainly nothing to ignore. And he had another top five night last night at North Wilkesboro. So the 54 team, they're like the silent killers. They only got one win to their name, but sneaky speed out of Ty Gibbs.
Consistent. I mean, that's one thing that Ty and that team, since they, you know, came online in the Cup Series, really hadn't had until this mm-hmm. season. And so, yeah, I think it should be celebrated. They've had a fantastic season.
They were very fast in the early laps. He got a pit road speeding penalty and got it lapped down, got the lap back, and fought back in and had a decent finish. I don't think this is a team we need to totally just toss out right now, because it's going to be tough. But 134 is not undoable. Just ask Tyler Reddick.
That's true. Really, 134. Ty Gibbs, I don't think, can take over the points lead. No. Really, the number to me is 47, and he's 47 back of Ryan Blaney in third. And really, Ryan Blaney, I think, is going to continue to trend upward in that direction. I almost wonder if Ty Gibbs is going to start looking at what the 45 is doing is, hey, can we catch Reddick?
That's a good point.
Speaking of what the 45 is doing, thank you
not,
for the nice
or
shot.
You're welcome. We're not doing.
Andrew just put the ball on the tee for me. I appreciate that. Let's go back in time at Wilkesboro. Tyler Reddick, another non-spectacular day, 30th place finish. I know he got involved in a little incident early on, mm-hmm. but I don't know that they were ever going to be a top 10 factor.
No, I had him on pit road, and they were, before all the incidents happened, probably my third or fourth best car, I would say. I had,
of just the cars you
of
had.
Of just the cars that I had, right. I had a lot of good cars. I had Denny, I had SVG, William Byron was running up there. So, like, I certainly had good guys, but
for those scoring at home, when you say the cars I had, elaborate on what that means.
Well, yeah, so on pit road, we each divide up into three sections. So we take everyone on pit road, divided into thirds. I had kind of like the front stretch portion of the racetrack, and then Doug Turnbull had the curve of pit road. Wendy Venturini had the front end of it, pit out. And so, you know, you focus on a handful of drivers each race, and Reddick was one of the drivers that I was reporting on. And before that incident, they had a decent car, but as you said, not race-winning speed out of the 45.
That's a big departure from what we saw at the first of the year.
Certainly.
When we were all giving him the regular season championship.
Yeah.
I'll include myself in there. Okay. Not going to act like I wasn't with the lemmings going over the cliff.
Look, I feel like this just goes to show, like, this is such a grueling season. The NASCAR season is so long, and it ebbs and flows, right? Like, you'll have somebody that is showing out and showing up at the beginning of the season, and you're like, just, you know, because it's what we do as members of the media, we put them in the championship seat before we even get to the midway point of the season. And then things happen. The summer stretch comes, the grueling part of you know, traveling week in and week out to all of these races happens, and you start to get bad luck and things happen and it snowballs, and then somebody else is on top and you're pushed down. So it just goes to show how many things can happen in one season and how things change, you know, quickly.
The way I see it is, ball don't lie.
Right.
That is the chase format in a nutshell. Is there's too much of a sample size to get it wrong, and that's why I'm looking forward to seeing how these final 10 races play out when we get to September, because I truly believe the best car will rise to the occasion, as we've slowly seen it. Now, of course, Tyler Reddick has had issues and has had terrible luck this summer, but you can't help but wonder, would he have been in that situation if he didn't have as good of track, if he had better track position? Could he have avoided that if he qualified better? Obviously, the metric screwed him up there, but there's certainly factors that still come into play, and Reddick knows that.
You just used the L word luck. I don't believe in that. I think luck is a foreign construct that we put on things to explain things because we don't understand what permeates those actions. I know that's a little bit weird, but I don't believe in luck. I think things happen for reason, and you just talked about it. Qualify better, guess what? Your luck gets better. You start at the top 10 at a race, your luck gets better.
Well, and he had the metric, so, I mean, he couldn't qualify if he wanted to.
You have the metric because you've not performed well at other things, and the metric punishes you. The metric's like AI. It's just gonna smack you around, and it's not going to ask any questions. In the last five races, Tyler Reddick has averaged 27th.
That's not going to cut it.
And I think when you extrapolate five races, you just can't say, well, they're in a bad patch. That's a lot of races. That's 25% of all the races we ran up until we got to North Wilkesboro. And right now they've averaged 27th.
Yeah, and that's got to improve if you want to win a championship.
Yes, it does.
And I think the hardest part of that to swallow is that some of those bad finishes came at racetracks where they expected to finish extremely well, i.e. the road courses.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have these bad strings, you know, of races or finishes, you think to yourself, okay, well, where can I go? Where do I have circled on the calendar that's going to be in my wheelhouse? It's going to be my bread and butter where I can turn things around. And I, you know, does that play into their mental, the psychology? We talked about sports psychology a couple weeks ago or last week when Sam was here. Does that, okay, well, we couldn't even get good finishes at racetracks where we thought we could get good finishes. So like how does that snowball and continue to, hinder that team?
What do your spidey senses tell you about right now, Tyler Reddick? Where is that team, and where is Tyler Reddick's head?
I think it's tough because I know Tyler breaks apart these incidents a lot more than I feel like the rest of us would, and he's told
sure,
me that too.
Should.
I know they're looking for a momentum change, and talking to the team, they were hoping it was going to be last weekend at Echo Park Speedway, and I think they scrounged their best finish in a while. But then you go back, it's North Wilkesboro, and don't have something good. I think they're just looking to right the ship again, and I feel like once again, momentum
Stop
works in
bleeding.
Both ways. Momentum works in both ways. It's bad momentum right now for them. If you can turn there around and get the mojo back in the 45 camp, I think you can't necessarily count Reddick out quite yet. He's still second in points.
Let's toss this bone out there. They're going to Indianapolis Motor Speedway. A 23-11 car won that race last year in pretty good fashion, and that was Bubba Wallace. So the data and all the intel to put together a winning performance is right at Tyler Reddick's fingertips.
It's a handsome notebook. Absolutely is. And I haven't dove quite into the Indy stats yet, but this to me feels like it would be, and I know we've said it the last couple weekends, the best opportunity to turn it around. But in terms of the tracks that we have coming up, Indianapolis and 2311, I think, is their maybe best final chance to get a win before the season's done.
Coming up, will he go round in circles? We'll break down SVG next.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
Hey, race fans, we can't wait to see you right here at New Hampshire Motor Speedway for a wicked fast, wicked fun weekend this August as we host New England's only NASCAR Cup Series weekend. Live performances, driver appearances. Don't forget to keep an eye on NHMS.com as we count down to New England's only NASCAR Cup weekend, August 21st through the 23rd, right here at New Hampshire Motor Speedway, New England's big track, where it's always about family, friends, and fun.
This is Chase Briscoe, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
The NASCAR Cup Series is at North Wilkesboro Speedway.
Start your engine!
It's the Window World 450.
Ty Gibbs up against the outside wall, off the front bumper of Denny Hamlin. Christopher Bell did a good job of slamming on the brakes.
Ty Larson flexing his muscle in a big way. He will drift right up in front of Tyler Reddick and take that number two spot.
The Window World 450 from North Wilkesboro, Sunday, July 19th at 6 Eastern on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
My fiancé is a veteran.
I did tours in Korea, Germany, and Bosnia before I got injured.
When Yusuf got out of the military, he needed help getting his disability benefits.
Luckily, DAV came to the rescue. They fought for me the same way that I fought for my country.
Every year, DAV provides life-changing support to more than a million veterans.
My victory is never giving up and finding more ways to serve.
He's pretty amazing.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Our pleasure to be with you here on Fast Talk. I'm Doug Rice, joined by Andrew Curlin, who worked pit road for the Window World 450 at North Wilkesboro Speedway. And as usual, Alexis Erickson joins us. We're going to get into all the warm and fuzzy about North Wilkesboro a little bit later on, but I did want to talk a little bit about Shane Van Gisbergen. We have spent an inordinate amount of time on this show talking about it because he does not, what are those little puzzles? Which one of these does not look like the other?
Right.
Shane Van Gisbergen does not look like, he doesn't look like the rest of the drivers. He's about a head taller than everybody else. And he certainly doesn't sound like them and doesn't act like them. So he's created his own atmosphere. And of course, is it time, Alexis? He had a really nice run, led laps under the green, came home, had a strong finish at North Wilkesboro, actually moved up in the point standings, and he finished fifth. Do we need to maybe loosen the grip a little bit that SVG is a one-trick pony?
Yes, I think so. I mean, I absolutely do. I think he's shown us enough times this year that he can be good at only turning left in certain circumstances. I think one of the things is when he can start well on these ovals, when he has a good qualifying position, whether that's because he qualified well or because he started well due to the metric, which is what happened at North Wilkesboro, he can oftentimes hold that position. A lot of times when he's qualifying on his own, sometimes on these ovals, that's not the case. And so, I think that we need to start looking at him. I think Trackhouse, unfortunately, is at a disadvantage. They obviously are putting cars on the racetrack that are not to the same level as a lot of the other cars that we're seeing put out. They don't have as much speed. But when you're at a racetrack like North Wilkesboro, where speed isn't necessarily the name of the game, he clearly was able to show all of us who said, oh, he's only a road course ringer, that we need to be paying more attention to him.
Andrew?
I would say I don't even think it's a Trackhouse thing because he ran third in the truck race too.
Yeah.
So this is just a ability that he has. I'm ready to call SVG not a road course ringer, not an oval racer. He's just a darn good racer. And we need to start recognizing him for that fact. I talked to his crew chief, Stephen Doran, before the race yesterday. What makes SVG fit so well at these types of racetracks? And he says it's a technical type of racetrack. And SVG echoed the same thing. Even that you've got elevation changes and both corners are very different and there's room to run. That all fits into his driving style. And so it was fun to watch him genuinely lead laps, and that top five, it was extremely well-earned because he was a player all night long.
And this is coming off of a really strong performance at Echo Park.
Yeah.
Where he ran well, but somehow or another, the points didn't fall, and he actually lost a spot.
Mm-hmm.
But he gained back two of those. So I have said on here, I didn't think he was going to make the chase. I may have to start finding reverse on my prediction here. if he can keep this up, they can keep this play going, and we'll see what it. I have a sneaky feeling he may have a good run at Indy. That's a very technical race.
It is.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know it's 2.5 miles in length, but it's all about hitting your marks, and it's all about corner entrance and watching him race at North Wilkesboro, the guy never got more than 6 inches off the bottom of the racetrack the entire night.
He made that bottom work like no one else. But, and I'll say this as well, Indy, that's a technical racetrack. And I've heard so many drivers this past weekend compare North Wilkesboro to Richmond. So take a look at whoever was a good and solid player this weekend. Just keep it in your back pocket and be ready for them to show up at Richmond. And if, like you said, Alexis, if SVG can have a good starting spot, he could be a player once again in a few weeks once we head to Virginia.
Yep.
Does the competition, I mean, we've kind of joked about this. Well, if he ever learns how to drive in circles, then they're going to need to be worried. Do you start paying attention going like, what are they doing over there at the 97 now?
I can tell you that Denny Hamlin was paying attention when he was passing him for the lead. Yep. And, you know what I mean? Joey Logano was paying attention when they were coming down to, you know, the end of the stage. And it was looking like he might get, you know, like they're paying attention, I think.
They are. And it's also worth noting the end of the stage, SVG, and I know he just lost it to Ty Gibbs, just lost his rear drive. He admitted it at the end. He did that on two tires with Ty Gibbs on four.
Yeah.
So he almost won the whole stage with less cards in his pocket than Ty Gibbs did.
And I'm watching the crowd, because I was in the public address booth at North Wilkesboro.
Cool.
Watching the crowd reaction to when he went up and took the lead and when he was battling with Ty Gibbs, it was 90-10.
Yeah.
They wanted SVG to run up front.
Yeah.
And I was covering SVG, so I have a lot to add about this as well. But his performance last night, I can't say better things about it. But he was also driving blind for a lot of the race,
oh,
too.
Right. Yeah.
They missed tearing the windshield tear off, and he said it started bubbling right in front of his face. It was really distorted. So, and that was while he was still running within the top five of that race. And
yeah.
So he did a lot of that without even proper visibility from behind the wheel. I'm just overall just very impressed by his performance.
Impressive. Great run. Back it up a few more. I don't know that he's a championship threat, but maybe in 2027, if we're at this desk talking about this, he just might be, because obviously the evolution of his adaptation to the ovals has come a long way.
It's fun to watch. I'm looking forward to watching him progress. And I think this chase bubble battle, the last month we have in here, is going to be fun to watch with SVG, Joey Logano, Ryan Preece, who's in 18th in points, had an evil race car yesterday and managed to scrounge a top 10 finish out of that. So there's a lot of people putting in gutsy performances and the time they need to do it.
The revival, the resurrection of North Wilkesboro Speedway is now complete. We'll talk about that next.
Have you filed for disability benefits but were denied by the Social Security Administration? Or do you need to apply and are overwhelmed with paperwork? Are you between the ages of 50 and 63 and can no longer work because of an illness or injury? Thousands of hardworking Americans are in your situation. They file for disability benefits and are unnecessarily denied their much-needed benefit check. Call now for a no-obligation, free evaluation. We can help you nearly double your chances of approval and get your benefit checks faster. We understand the physical, emotional, and financial impact. We'll share our insider expertise and help you get your disability claim filed and paid immediately. There is a time limit to apply, so call right now. Operators are standing by to help you.
800-978-3903. 800-978-3903. 800-978-3903. That's 800-978-3903.
This is Ross Chastain, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
It's Charlie and Debbie, along with NASCAR legend Kyle Petty, inviting you to join us for Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown.
Each week, we'll put it in reverse and take a trip down memory lane, looking back at that week's top 20 country songs from years past.
We'll dive into what made those songs and artists move the needle, what pop culture trends made those years unique.
And you'll get to hear me tell stories only I can tell.
So don't miss Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown right here each week.
The
Welcome to PRN's At the Track. I'm Lenny Baticki. We are PRN's half-hour weekly show dedicated to the short track, dirt track, legends, and kart racing across the Southeast. We provide our audience with the news and insightful conversations with the newsmakers from grassroots racing. How did that help you this time to take this victory from a grassroots perspective?
I definitely felt like Martinsville was a lot harder than the other one.
That's PRN's At the Track.
General manager of PRN has a favorite saying. He likes to
pivot.
Well,
he has a lot of
He likes to pivot. Jerry Horn is a man that if he doesn't bring up pivot in every conversation.
He wants to be nimble. Yeah. He loves to pivot.
He loves to pivot.
Yep.
We're going to pivot slightly because of a topic that Alexis went to during the break there. And I go ahead and articulate that.
Okay. So I was curious during the break about Doug and Andrew's feelings on Carson Hocevar and if they thought that he is somebody that could potentially knock Chase Elliott off the most popular driver mantle. We saw all the things that have happened in the last couple of weeks of him, offering 77 shirts for people coming in and giving basically the shirt off of their back, whatever driver it was that they follow. He would give them a shirt. And just he's been at the ESPYs. And I mean, he's had quite a run over the last few weeks. He in popularity. I see him in my feed all the time. He seems to be, to me, someone who potentially, if he can continue to win, if he can continue to have success on the racetrack and mixed with the personality that he's currently bringing now, could be someone that could challenge a Chase Elliott potentially. And, you know, 20 years of heritage and all of these things that he brings for that most popular driver.
I would say keep on keeping on doing what you're doing, Carson. Yeah. I still think Chase has that built-in fan base. But I'll say this. You were talking about who's the most likely guy who can host the next SNL of our drivers. Carson Hocevar is breaking into the mainstream world, it seems like, every other week at this point, which is amazing to see. I will add this, and this is something Chase Elliott even said, and I hope this happens for most popular driver, but Chase said, if you're a fan of me, I want you to vote for Kyle Busch. And that would be what I hope happens this year.
Sure.
But in years down the road, can Carson Hocevar build that army of fans? Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, that's a great point. I think this year would be certainly apropos for Kyle Busch to get that most popular driver award. I've heard a lot of things, actually, in the past few weeks that I think would be great tributes to Kyle. Naming the Truck Series trophy after him is one of them. But I do feel like as Carson continues his career, if he can continue to show the personality that he's showing, if he can continue to have success on the racetrack, I think he could potentially be somebody that maybe doesn't knock Chase Elliott off of that, but is right there nipping at his heels.
Whether you like him or not, he is doing this organically.
Yeah.
He has not sat in a room with a bunch of, you know, people planning a strategic session for success. He does not have wonks telling him what to say and to do.
I'll say, and this is not a knock against Carson at all, because every time we've interacted with him, he's been amazing to work with. But I would say the most guarded he probably actually is are the formal media availabilities and talking to him. And then he goes, and when he does his own thing, whether it be on social media or on his Twitch streams, like or after the race, after practice, going to sign autographs for every fan that lines up along the fence outside of North Wilkesboro. Like, that is where he shines. And if you just let him do his thing, man, that is the best medicine right there.
I think Chase has a hold of the core fan, right?
Yes.
He has a hold of the guy who's been a NASCAR fan his entire life, whose dad was a NASCAR fan. His dad voted for his dad as most popular driver, and now he's voting for Chase as most popular driver. And that's hard to break, right? That's hard to get through. But as new fans continue to come into the sport and as we continue to see things change and evolve, who knows?
You mentioned Kyle Busch. The devotion now and the reverence people have for him is stunning. watched it the lap eight. They wanted us on the public address to encourage the fans to stand up and hold eight fingers in the air. There was not one person at that sold-out crowd at North Wilkesboro that wasn't standing in almost reverence for the entirety of lap eight, giving that eight-fingered Kyle Busch salute and being quiet as you could be with a field of 37 cars running around. And makes me feel good as a human being to see that.
I had a moment during that lap eight yesterday, and I'm glad you brought that up, but I had a clear view of the grandstands and being able to see all the fans hold up lap eight, and I locked eyes. And he wasn't looking at me, but I was transfixed on one guy holding up eight fingers with the eight shirt and just like so proud to do it. And that was just a cool moment. I've loved seeing all the tributes come for Kyle Busch, and I think we're going to do something special after the truck race in Charlotte in October, too. Which
there's going to be a special memorial or celebration
That'll
of life.
Great.
I think it's still coming together. But and the recognition at all the tracks with the signage and with everything else. And they had a lot for Greg Biffle at North Wilkesboro partly because of everything Greg did for hurricane relief that affected that area. Mm-hmm.
By the way, shout out to Braxton Busch. He got his first win, I think, since the passing of his dad, and did a bow in his honor. And you can't help but send all of our good vibes to the Busch family, and it was happy to see Braxton back in victory lane.
And it's been nice to see genuine response. Here again, it's not manufactured. Nobody's cooking this stuff up in the lab and bringing it out. It's happening, I think, because people genuinely care. Green flag, black flag time, right around the corner.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
Race fans, November 4th through the 7th, dirt racing's most celebrated stars will shine in an electrifying spectacle, the World of Outlaws World Finals at the Dirt Track at Charlotte. Purchase a ticket package by Monday, August 3rd at alldirtroads.com and get a free pit pass. All Dirt Roads lead to Charlotte as the World of Outlaws sprint cars, late models, and super dirt car big block modifieds collide.
I'm Chase Elliott, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
In addition to traditional summer camp, Victory Junction also hosts family weekends, partner programs, and day camps. And the Victory Junction Outreach Program takes camp fun beyond our gates to children at hospitals and partner sites throughout North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. Victory Junction makes the impossible accessible.
This is a place that needs to be here 50 years from now, 100 years from now. We are never going to run out of kids that can benefit from Victory Junction.
Discover how you can get involved at victoryjunction.org.
Chase Elliott on his relationship with Napa.
His fit for your 13th year together. They've been a great partner. I think as time goes on, those relationships get better if you're lucky enough to have a partner for that length of time, because they get to know you, you get to know them, we figure out what works for each other, and we can really start pulling the rope in the same direction. And I think that that's where our relationship has really thrived the most.
NASCAR Network Radio drives business.
Jump into green flag, black flag. I did want to pay off the whole return to North Wilkesboro thing. I feel like we have spent the bulk of the last 5 years talking about North Wilkesboro Speedway. Alexis, does this put a button on the resurrection and the revival of that track, having a points-paying race after three All-Star events?
I don't see how it couldn't. I mean, I was watching from home. So if you've never been to North Wilkesboro, the one word that comes to mind when I think about that racetrack is intimate. It's very small. You feel like when you're there, you're in the grandstands, like it's just a very intimate type venue. And that, I think, is awesome. I love that about North Wilkesboro. And so when you saw the vibe, even after Joey got out of the car and, you know, he doing all his burnouts, he gets out of the car with Hudson, like there were so many people still just packed in the grandstands in this very overwhelmingly intimate environment. I loved it. I think it was fantastic. As far as the vibe of the weekend, Andrew could probably speak to that more. You can, because you guys were boots on the ground there. But it certainly came across to me over our air and what I was watching on the TNT broadcast.
I'll add to that and say core NASCAR fans too. I mean, you don't stumble upon North Wilkesboro just based on where it was. But it doesn't matter, because they packed the place out and had a lot of people come up to me saying they were fans of what we do at PRN. And you don't get that at all the racetracks, just because there's a lot of new fans that don't know where to listen to quite yet. But a lot of people coming up to me, which was really cool. And you could just tell it was a core group of race fans.
And the story about how it came back to life, I think, is such a great story. And they told that very well. We told that very well. Kent, and you voiced a very great feature that we played on our air before the race. TNT did a fantastic feature that they did as well, that just talked about Dale Jr. wanting to scan it for iRacing. And if you don't know the story, it's a little too long, and we've got Green Flag, Black Flag to get to. But if you don't know it, look it up. It really is a fantastic. It's a if you build it, they will come story.
It is a bit of a miracle.
Yeah.
And you used the word intimate. Very good for North Wilkesboro. Nick Yeoman, who is our co-anchor, has never been to North Wilkesboro in his entire life. And he's walking up the steps to get to the control tower where the PRN booth is located. And I caught him coming in the door. So he's only been on the grounds for 5 minutes. I said, "What do you think?" And he goes, "Charming." I went, "Yeah, that's it.
That's
it. It's not fancy at all.
It doesn't need to be.
No, they have not polished
old school.
That's how I want it to be.
Yeah,
it puts the old in old school. It certainly does. But it is charming. It works on that level. And you're right, Andrew. That's a very great observation. The people that come to North Wilkesboro, you don't have to explain to them how stock car racing works.
Mm-hmm.
They're there. They're there as fans. And they're there almost as fans as much of North Wilkesboro Speedway as they are NASCAR racing.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of local pride.
Well, I was just going to mention, too, you know, because I live locally, just an hour outside, my Facebook and social media feeds have been inundated with posts of people from that area, local businesses, local proprietors that are talking about how much they love racing at North Wilkesboro, how much they love NASCAR coming to their community. And I, maybe it's because I don't live local to a lot of other racetracks, but I don't see that at a lot of other places. Indianapolis is one of the only other racetracks that you really see that local pride.
Yes. Last thing I'll say on it, but there's demand to get to North Wilkesboro. It's hard to find a ticket to get to that one. If you want to go, you got to make sure you buy your ticket early. No, and that's a good feeling.
This was not a faux sellout. This was a for sure sellout.
Oh, yeah. So
that big difference. Let's do this.
It's time for another edition of Green Flag, Black Flag.
All right. I like to think of this segment as charming, also, in its
own intimate little way.
Yeah. I'm going to read some carefully prepared statements here. Our panel thinks them over very carefully, and they give it a green flag if they agree. If they disagree, it gets a black flag. If they are all in agreement, do we have that? Yeah, we do. If it's a dumb answer that you give, I don't know. Do we have something there?
There are no dumb answers.
Yes, really.
That's right.
Or is that questions? Anyway.
We'll have to see about that. Okay, here we go. Let's go to Alexis Erickson first of all. Hamlin will clinch the regular season title before Daytona.
Ooh, black flag.
Mm.
I'm going to say black flag just because I don't want to see it happen that way. I would like it to go all the way to the wire, all the way to the last lap at Daytona, not knowing what's going to happen. So I'm just going to, you know, if you put the energy out there, sometimes the universe will accept it. So that's what I'm doing. Mm,
Doug Rice.
Green flag. I listened to his post-race conversation, and he knows what craziness can ensue at Daytona. And I think he's going to manipulate the point system and work on getting as many stage points as he can. And by the time we go to Daytona, he's going to know he's already the regular season champ.
Andrew Curlin.
Green flag. If I think it's 71 points, gets you one race up, and he's currently 68 with a bunch of races to go, and he can win anywhere. He's trending in the right direction, and he won't have to rely on luck at Daytona.
All right. Let's go to Doug Rice here. We need to just accept that Shane Van Gisbergen is just a really good race car driver.
As a by the way, before that, I just got side-eyed by
Andrew. Oh, you did?
And I'm not sure how I feel about that. I'm having to adjust to this new world. What was the question?
We need
SVG's
to.
SVG's really good.
I appreciate you, Doug.
Yes, he's really good. He's very good.
Okay, just
yes,
good.
The greatest driver ever to draw breath. Yes, he's great. Yeah.
All right, Andrew.
Oh, green flag. Yeah, he's proving more and more that ovals are his bread and butter. And he said North Wilkesboro is one of his favorite racetracks. If you get SVG excited about the ovals, watch out.
Yeah. Right. Green flag. I think that he shows us every time he's in a race car that he has got the chops to be there. So, yes.
We can drop the greatest road course driver.
I think
and just
so.
Go
well, no.
Or
no.
A great one. A
no,
because
he
one.
Still is that. He's yeah. still he's still at the top of the heap when it comes to road courses. He gets multiple hats.
Can a man
know?
Wear
it's
two
fine.
Crowns?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go to Andrew Curlin. The on-track product at North Wilkesboro warrants another points race next year.
You know what? This may be an unpopular opinion, but green flag. I liked the fact that it was just an old-school slugfest, 450 laps. I was skeptical of it before, but I actually thought it was a good distance. Drivers got out of the cars worn out. I want to see more of that.
Okay, Alexis.
I'm going to say that, you know, I thought it was a decent race. I thought there was multiple grooves and all that. But for me, the biggest thing that says that if they have a point race next year, it will be great is that it was sold out. And I think they would sell out again. It's the if you build it, they will come. And I think that people will continue to come to North Wilkesboro. And I think that should be the barometer for whether or not we have a points race there.
Doug Rice.
I agree. It was another race at North Wilkesboro. That's the race you get at that track.
Yeah.
If you go back and do the research, most of the races there had two or three cautions. It's never been a go crash them out venue. This was what you get at North Wilkesboro. Five cars, six cars on the lead lap, five cautions. So we got what we were wanting for. And if you imagine some other scenario, you were wrong. I certainly hope they get another whack. I think it would be pulling the rug out from under that community to say, yeah, okay, we'll come back, but it's going to be something else.
All right, maybe I didn't have an unpopular opinion. We all agreed. That makes me feel good. I just thought six cars on the lead lap would turn people off, but I personally loved it.
Okay. And Alexis Erickson, here's another one. Quickie here. Joey Logano will be a major factor in the 2026 Chase.
Black flag. I think he'll be a factor. I don't know if he'll be a major factor. I think that some of the racetracks in the final 10 races are going to throw that team for a little bit of a loop.
Doug, what do you think?
I agree with Alexis. No, black flag. He's going to be around. He could be the straw that stirs the drink, but he's not going to be the drink.
Andrew.
And Black Flag, you got too many guys up in the Chase standings, and he's not far enough at the top of the standings to really give him the points bump when we reset.
All right,
points.
When he wins the title, we're going to play this back.
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
But so he's the guy that would do that just to aggravate us.
Even year.
Yeah.
And you That's know, we were at this desk when we heard that he was eligible for the old playoff format when Alex Bowman got disqualified.
Yeah. And we were like, oh, boy.
And we're all like, oh.
Yeah.
They've let the fox in the hen house. Yep. And he walked away with another title.
Look, if we were still talking about the old format, then my answer would have been changed. I would have changed my answer immediately and said, agreed. Yes, he will be a major factor and a major threat. But in this new Chase era, I'm just not so sure.
Nor any of us. That's sure. We'll see. That's why we race. That's why we show up every week. All right, we'll take a time out. We'll come back. One last thing.
How does Chase Briscoe win? With the hands of his pit crew changing four tires in under 9 seconds. The voice of his spotter carving a path through the pack.
His race engineer, systems engineer, all working tirelessly to shave off a tenth of a second. With his team at Toyota, his crew chief, his fans, his family, it's all of this all at once at 200 miles per hour. From the moment Chase joined Toyota to the moment he ends up in victory lane. So how does Chase Briscoe win? In summary, not alone. Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal and is so easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and X to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name Z-Max for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
I'm Eric Jones, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
These cars are about to fire it off in anger.
Boy, what a save! We got cars sideways. It's Christopher Bell. He spins and collects a couple cars.
Side by side, Austin Cindric has him at the line, and he will take the lead into one.
Here comes Shane Van Gisbergen on the bottom. He's looking for second.
Now Chris Buescher fired out of a cannon in turn two. He's right into the rear bumper of Pagan.
Oh, it's a multi-car accident. I want to say 15, 20 cars. Guys, that took out about two-thirds of the field.
We have a fight on pit road between two crew guys. One of them is with Ty Gibbs. One is with Brad Keselowski.
Blaney, bottom of the racetrack. Chastain makes it three wide. He'd like to take a spot here on the backstretch, and he charges. He wants the lead in turn three.
Ross Chastain shot out of a cannon from the sixth starting spot. He has already moved up to second. The battle now for third on the high side. Kyle Larson, Riley Herbst challenging low.
Kyle Larson moves up to the top side. Going to lose a little bit of ground.
This is PRN.
Of the essence. Alexis Erickson, you're up first.
So this weekend is the finals for the NASCAR Bracket Challenge, and we have Ryan Blaney going up against the guy who I think has the best nickname in all of NASCAR, the Todd Father, Todd Gilliland. And if you think to yourself right away, oh, well, Ryan Blaney's got that in the bag, I recently found out that Todd Gilliland has two back-to-back sixth-place finishes. Ooh. At Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So we could see ourselves with an upset and Todd Gilliland being a millionaire when we leave the Brickyard.
That's awesome for the Todd Father, and I'm curious to see what David Stiles on Racer's Odds will pick in that matchup, because we'll preview all of that this week.
I want a Todd Father t-shirt.
I know,
I've
right?
got a Todd Gilliland t-shirt.
I really
they sent me
do.
A Pickles t-shirt, Todd Gilliland with Pickles
that.
On it. It's awesome. I wear it all the time.
And you want to quickly explain why the Pickles thing applies to you?
Well, I brought a Pickle Dakota just as a snack, and I sent a picture of me holding a pickle to our group chat. Now my nickname is Pickles. So much so that my pack that they give me, it's labeled Pickles. So that's how BSI, the
so
people
when they
who handle
the... tape the, on the on
yes,
the, that's good.
That's how
that's
they
great.
Know to give me the proper microphone.
All right, never say never. I was at North Wilkesboro, and everywhere I went, whether it was the office area or you could see it in the callers, even from up in the PA booth area, every place I went on Sunday, they were watching the World Cup soccer finals.
Oh, this is going to be mine.
And I never thought I would live long enough to see World Cup soccer be the dominant thing. If it's a World Series game or an NFL or a big-time college football game, not a surprise. World Cup soccer has made an impact. The sports language escape of this country has changed forever.
It was an unbelievable clash of cultures. I watched as many games as I could. Leo Messi, thank you for the journey. I'm sorry you didn't get the second World Cup you're looking
Thanks
for.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Fast Talk. Andrew Curl and Alexis Erickson. Remember, keep it between the navigational beacons.
Between the buoys.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.